Satan is trying to throw us off. And instead of looking and keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, he's having us think of other things. Lord, Marilyn just said to me that she was praying that I would make it all the way around the corner with the pain I'm getting in my back, and I was using a cane. She said, I was praying for you, and Satan got me good. As she fell and was bleeding from her nose and cuts on her face, we just lift her up, Lord. And we say, Satan, you have no place, no stronghold, no foothold. We rebuke you by the power of the risen Jesus Christ, who we will celebrate next Sunday in this place. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's Holy Gospel, we do this once a year, the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every 3 years, it's somebody else. Today it was Luke, last year it was Matthew, the year before it was Mark. Next year it'll be Mark again, because we're on a 3-year schedule. But this Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ begins on the night before Jesus died for us. Think about all that went on leading up to this. Jesus had entered Jerusalem, as we had just remembered and celebrated. He was exalted as king before throngs of people who waved palm branches and cried, Hosanna to the King! And here we are, just 4 days later, Jesus is about to be arrested, tried of trumped up false charges, was brutally tortured, and then executed for being guilty of being God's Messiah, who came to free the world from the bondage of sin and death and its own sins. We read through the end of chapter 23 of the Gospel of Luke to the crucifixion, where we learn of Christ finally being recognized as a king, but recognized in mockery with a placard, a sign above his head on the cross, declaring him as King of the Jews. But again, it was in ridicule. Jesus is given a drink, but it's a foul, cheap, sour wine. Not a drink fit for a king, instead of a drink for the poor. Jesus is given a crown, but it's not a golden crown. It's a crown of thorns. And then his robes were divided, casting lots in mockery and jest. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He was hung between two criminals, killed in the cruelest of ways, nailed to a tree, which in the Old Testament is a curse. He was even taunted by one of his criminals, who scoffed at him, saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal recognized that Jesus was an innocent man, done nothing wrong. And then he asked Jesus for mercy, to be remembered when he came into his kingdom. These two criminals are a perfect example of the two ways in which people live. Let's face it. One type of person is denying Christ, making a mockery of everything that Jesus is and that he's done. And the other is one who is seeking him, acknowledging his lordship, begging for mercy, asking for forgiveness, and wanting to spend all of eternity in his glorious presence. There are two ways to live. You can know peace in your life through a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you can live alone, without peace, and without him. Sin separates us from God, and as sinners, we simply cannot come into his holy presence. God is holy. Because of our sin, we can't even approach his presence. If we have unrepentant sin in our hearts, we have put a wall between ourselves and God. But we're not without hope. The prophet Isaiah, at the beginning of chapter 59, says, See, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have been barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. My brothers and sisters, It is not God's desire or his intention for anyone to be apart from him, ever. But that choice belongs to mankind. It belongs to us. But it's only God who can save us. And only God can bridge the divide so that we can cross over to him and be in his grace, his mercy, and his presence. The fact remains, however, that sin has to be punished. There's a price for it. And if God has left us alone on our own devices, we'd have absolutely no hope. The reality that the price has to be paid holds true for all of our lives. The price, the cost, what we've earned. The wages of sin is death. They have to be paid. And we all know the importance of Romans 6:23. The Apostle Paul wrote, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, Lord Jesus, please don't let me get what I deserve. Since what we deserve, the wages, the price, is death. The price for covering our sins, for reconciliation, or atonement, is death. Do you know, have you ever looked at the word atonement and to see what it is? It's three words. We call that a compound word. At-one-ment. Atonement. You're becoming one again with God. You're becoming one again on a level playing field with him. He's God, but you're able to communicate with him. At-one-ment with the Savior, with the Lord. And so we pray for atonement. God promised that the price had to be paid. And he promised a means for somebody else to pay our debt, to stand in our place. And that was to shed his very own blood for us. Many of you know me, and you know that one of my very favorite, we call them pericopes, sections of the Bible, is Genesis chapter 22. That's when Abraham is told to travel and go 3 days to a mountain that God would show him. And he went to Mount Moriah and he brought his son Isaac and he was supposed to sacrifice him there. Abraham was being totally obedient to God. I suggest sometime during Holy Week, read Genesis chapter 22. Read the whole chapter. Jesus is in there. Abraham was being totally obedient to God. He was leading his only son Isaac up to that mountain, which would one day be called Mount Zion, by the way. That's where the temple would be built. Isaac was unknowingly carrying the wood for his sacrifice on his back. And he asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said to him, "Son, my son, God himself will provide the lamb." All the way back in Genesis, God promised that he himself would provide the lamb. He himself, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John reminds us that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. In verse 18 of that very first chapter, John continues, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." My brothers and sisters, God himself provided the lamb to pay our debt, to clean our slate, the propitiation for our sins, providing a means of forgiveness and reconciliation with him. There's nothing that you or I have done in our lives that cannot be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Get that guilt out of here. If you've given it to God, don't let Satan remind you of it. It's done. It's finished. It was done on the cross. Tell Satan to get out of here. Leave you alone in the name of Jesus Christ. If you do that, he can't bother you again. He has to go. He has to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Tell Satan you don't belong here. God has already paid our debt. You ever go to a restaurant and somebody pays the bill for you? I remember Every time Marilyn and I would go out with her parents, her father always grabbed the bill. It was just his way. He wanted to be able to cover it and wanted to be able to say, no, it's on me. And you know what? I try to do the same thing with my kids. And hopefully they'll do that same thing going forward. It's nice. We used to do something in seminary. Driving through the tolls in Pennsylvania, we'd pay for the next two cars behind us, paying it forward, if you will. And the look on their faces when they found out that their bill had already been paid, they raced to catch up with us to say thank you. That's not why we did it. We did it to just let them know that their debt's been paid. And hopefully they would put two and two together. How many Sundays have you worshiped? And during our prayer, have you heard the priest pray that he offered himself, once offered, an oblation, an offering for us, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world? And that's why we celebrate today. That's why we thank Almighty God for the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ, his incarnation. That's why we recall his death, resurrection, and ascension. My friends, Jesus Christ is true royalty. He is Christ the King, the Messiah King, the one who paid our price and died in our place so that we don't have to be bothered by old sins that we've given to God. They're gone. Jesus himself born once so that we might live. Everybody loves the baby in the manger. And they, oh, isn't he cute? Oh, it's Christmas. That means gifts and so on. They love the Christmas songs, the presents, the star, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But not everybody loves what that represents. Because that's only the beginning of the story. In order for salvation to come to humanity, there has to be a Good Friday. There has to be a trial. There has to be a scourging. There has to be a crown of thorns. There has to be nails that painfully puncture that precious skin. And there has to be a cross. There are some people who have a difficult time understanding or even believing in a Savior who convicts us as sinners, asking us to repent, to turn away from our sin, and be transformed by a love that we know like none other. There are some people who only hear what Jesus said in the very midst of today's gospel, our passion. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. These people unfortunately go on thinking that Jesus was letting the world off the hook because of ignorance. And I have to say no, my friends. Instead, Jesus was asking for forgiveness in order to give us the opportunity to make the choice for ourselves. Those two ways to live. Not with Jesus or with Jesus. How do you want to live? That's the choice we make. The question is, do we want to live in sin, separated from Almighty God, or forgiven, washed clean by his holy blood and the sacrifice that he made, the true royalty, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life? That's part of John 3:16. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, reminds us of the person and character of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, all things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. In today's epistle reading, Paul gives us a deeper insight into the character and sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. As we begin this Holy Week, I want to suggest to you to take with you today a plan and a promise. Plan to be about learning and worshiping the Lamb of God who took your place on the cross. Plan to be about preparing to join him when he comes again. And plan to be about living the message of forgiveness and love that can only be found in him. Sharing the good news of that message with everything we think, do, and say. I ask you to please be a consistent Christian, showing and telling others what Christ, the compassionate King, has done for you. And most importantly, gratefully accept his promise of eternal life so that you might live. The gift from true royalty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.